If you have a Bible, please turn with me to the book of John, chapter 17. And in John 17, we find what is known as the intercessory prayer of Jesus. And we're going to go through some of that today. We believe that the purpose of the church is summarized in three things. We exist to glorify God, to equip the saints, and to share the gospel. This morning, my message is primarily focused on that second task, to equip the saints. In its full form, to equip the saints is to equip you for the ministry of the gospel. That is to give you the things that you need to go out into the world and share Jesus and live as Jesus would have lived, to do the work that God would call you to do, to be part of a local church and to function as a living, breathing organism that is the body of Christ. We want to give you the tools, knowledge, and experience necessary for you to live as a believer. One of the most important things for us to realize as believers is that each one of us walks into the world as ambassadors for Jesus. So there are certain things that we need to know how to do as we go out there and do, as we go out there and live, as we come in here and live, as we provide care for one another. We were talking this morning about the church being a hospital for sinners. And it is that, as we care for one another. I like to talk about the church as a hospital, and the way that we come in as sick and broken people, and we kind of stay sick and broken all the time in certain ways, but we get a little bit better, and then we start caring for new people as they come in. We get a little bit better, and we start caring for new people as they come in. We get a little bit better, and soon we're part of the residency, and we're providing long-term care, and we're doing bigger things, and it's just a cycle as we live our lives, and we get really good at providing care for one another. So today, my purpose is to equip you to pray with a primary focus on praying for others or praying as part of your ministry. The offices of the church exist to prepare you to do ministry in your world, where you go, in the places that you walk, in the influences that you have. Because there's a lot that I can do as your pastor, but I'm limited to one place at one time for only a certain number of hours every day. And I can pray for the person that you want prayer for in my own home, but you can pray for them there, with them, in the moment. And we want to be able to do that. If you don't know what prayer is, the most basic description of prayer is talking to God. It's just talking to God. There's a lot of different ways that we go about talking to God. This is one of those ways as we intercede for one another. We believe as Christians that we communicate with God in an incredible way. We have access to the throne of grace. We have the ability to go in to the throne room of God like children and interrupt everything and say, God, I need, and he says, hey, okay, I got you. I'm going to take care of that. Every time I interact with my children and I'm doing something else, I have to tell them to be quiet. So I just figure that that's what God does to us. He just tells it, hey, calm down a little bit. We have access to the throne of grace, and we get to approach that throne as children with all the promises that that entails. This is a privileged conversation. We're not coming in as nobody. We come in as children of the King. Privileged people with the Creator of the universe. Again, my focus this morning is praying as a ministry. In James chapter 5, verse 16, I know I said turn in your Bibles to John 17. Stay there because that's where we live today. But in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, it says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. That's what we're talking about this morning, to intercede for one another. Paul writes to the Ephesian church, pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. Paul's asking for prayer. He says, pray for everybody. Also, please pray for me specifically in these ways. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, he writes, in addition, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it is with you. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 23, it says, the writer writes, as for me, I vow that I will not sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. I will teach you the good and right way. He says, I will pray for you. For me to not pray is sin, because I know I'm supposed to. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says, because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous one, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do what is evil. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous one, and his ears are open to their prayer. So when we pray, and I know I don't feel like a righteous person all the time. There are times where I feel totally and completely unrighteous. But it's not my righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ given to me. He took my filthy robes and he gave me his. So I stand before God, washed clean, righteous in his eyes, even though I struggle with all that on my own. His ears are open to our prayers. Prayer is simple. We shouldn't overcomplicate it. We shouldn't make it bigger or more difficult than it is. You can pray with your eyes open. You can pray with your eyes closed. You can pray with your hands in your pockets or them stretched to the sky. You can pray out loud. You can pray in your mind. A lot of different ways. The way that we like to pray for others is we like to come here and say, hey, Pastor, will you pray for? That's the easiest way, right? And then we just agree. God, yes, whatever he said, yes. I wasn't listening. I was getting a cup of juice. And that is good. And it's effective, but there's some missing to it, right? As we are instructed to be people who pray. When we are praying as ministry for others, here's reality. It probably should be done out loud with that person. Here's how I know. Jesus prayed everything that we see in John chapter 17 out loud in front of the people he was praying for. How do I know that? It is written down. If he prayed in his mind, which he could have done, then we wouldn't have anything. It would just go from John chapter 16, where he said, my favorite verse, will you put that on the screen? John 16, 33. I know it's up there. This is my favorite verse in all of Scripture, in case you're wondering. I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous, I have conquered the world. So it would go right from that into chapter 18, where it says, after Jesus had said these things, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley. But it doesn't. It goes through this whole chapter where he says, I've told you all of this, and you're going to suffer, but in me you will have peace because I've already overcome the world, and now let me pray for you. And he prayed for a whole chapter. When we're praying as ministry for others, we should probably pray out loud. And that's the part that makes us all uncomfortable. Some of you have been believers longer than I've been alive, and still, it's uncomfortable. But here's the reality. When we pray out loud, like when we worship out loud, it accomplishes two things. The first thing is it communicates and glorifies God. It communicates with and glorifies God. We know that's the purpose of prayer, right? But it also accomplishes that second thing that worship does. It encourages those who hear it. I told you I was standing up here this morning during worship. I was kneeling up here during worship, and I have a choir of children behind me. Some of them singing very well, some of them singing not really well. And God inhabits the praises of his people. And the Bible says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And those kids made a joyful noise, and it was wonderful. And my heart was encouraged by people singing around me. It's encouraging when things fail up here and I just get to hear this choir of people singing, "All my life, you've been good." It's a testimony to me because I know you mean it because you're singing it like I'm singing it. As a person who's been through some stuff and God's walked through with us some stuff. So it's, yes, it's communication with God, but it's encouragement to those around you and those that you're praying for and with. We know that because it's our own experience. If you've ever had somebody pray over you, you know that if they've done that well, you feel differently, even if your situation hasn't changed at all. You know somebody's asking God for good things on your behalf, even if nothing has changed. Why? Because we know what was asked. I asked Rick to pray for me, and he didn't say, "God, get this man to shut up." He said, "God, would you give him peace?" And I know God's a God who gives peace. And so I know even if it's not different now, it's going to work out because God's been asked. And I agreed, and the promises say if two or three are gathered together, and all those things, God's making all things work out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's me. So we know. And we can be encouraged. And we know the Father listens. We know that he is faithful. We know that he loves us. We know that he gives good gifts. These are all things we know because we've studied the Bible for the last 50 years, right? And so we can rest even before God has done anything. Even before God has changed anything at all. Even when we're still struggling. Even when the bank account still has that little dash in front of it. For some reason. Or it's in parentheses because you got upgraded. And even when we're comforted. So prayer becomes a ministry that we should and can actively engage in on a regular basis for the good of those around us. We should have our own prayer lives in our own home, in our own closet, in our own secret space where we have time with Jesus, where we lay out all of our own stuff. Jesus goes through praying for himself here in the first passage of this chapter. We know Jesus snuck away several times. He went to be with the Father. He got away from what was going on. He went and prayed for himself and for those around him, but he needed his time with Jesus. If you develop that time, this time where you're praying for others, with others, is easier. Prayer becomes a ministry that we should actively engage in for others. This morning we're going to look at a time that Jesus prayed, and we get to listen in on what he said, how he said it, and we get to feel how it affects us. I'm just going to read it to you. This is not a full exposition of John chapter 17. There are important theological truths here that I won't touch this morning. My primary focus is prayer for others. And so after I read this and after we experience it as someone praying it over us, we're just going to kind of dissect it and say, hey, this is what it looks like Jesus did when he prayed for other people. This is an incredible chapter of Scripture because it really is us just listening in on a prayer given by Jesus to God the Father towards the end of his earthly ministry. As you listen this morning, put yourself in this place, a disciple who's been walking with Jesus, been with him as he's healed some and done some and fed some, and by some I mean a lot. Put yourself in that place as a disciple at the feet of Jesus as he prays these things over you. Jesus spoke these things, looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you, since you have given him all authority over all flesh, so that he may give eternal life to everyone that you have given him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one who have sent, Jesus Christ. I have glorified you on earth by completing the work that you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have revealed your name to the people you gave me from the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given is from you, because I have given them the words you gave me. They have received them and have known for certain that I came from you. They believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. Everything I have is yours, and everything you have is mine, and I'm glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me, so that they may be as one as we are one. While I was with them, I was protecting them by your name that you have given to me. I guarded them, and not one of them is lost except the son of destruction, so that Scripture may be fulfilled. Now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy completed in them. I have given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them so that they may also be sanctified by the truth. I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word. May they all be as one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. I have given them glory. I have given them the glory you have given me, so that they may be as one as we are in one. I am in them and you are in me, so that they may be made completely one, that the world may know that you have sent me and I have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, so that they will see my glory, which you have given to me, because you loved me before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world has not known you. However, I have known you, and they have known that you sent me. I made your name known to them and will continue to make it known, so that the love that you have loved me with may be in them and I may be in them." After Jesus said these things, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. And then Jesus was betrayed. That is his prayer. So I see a few things. Isn't that a wonderful prayer to have prayed over you, first of all? Isn't that good? As Jesus just prays and says, "God, protect him. Because I'm not here anymore. And I've been protecting them, and none of them have been lost. I need you to continue that. Keep these people that I've..." Like, that's incredible. The things that God asked, that Jesus asked God to do, very, very encouraging to me. First thing I see is that Jesus changed his posture. He looked up. I said earlier, you can look up, you can look down, you can do whatever. But you ought to make it a point that, hey, I'm going into an attitude of prayer now. I'm changing something about myself. I'm changing my posture so that I can be in this place where I'm praying for somebody. He honored his relationship with God by calling him Father, which we do at the beginning of our prayers. God, Heavenly Father. We take that from the Lord's Prayer as well. Our Father who is in heaven. Then I see he prayed for himself. That's an interesting thing. That's a whole other series of messages. You know you can pray for yourself, right? You can just go to God and say, "Listen, God, I need..." That's what Jesus did in this, in the first passage of this chapter. He said, "God, I need this stuff. I got to have it. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm struggling with. This is where I am in the world." And then he prayed for his disciples. He gave some encouragement. He also prayed for people who didn't come to know him but would, because his disciples, he's sending his disciples out. They're going to go do some stuff. They're going to go share Jesus with some people. He talked about his relationship with his people, their accomplishments, the closeness, the special status that they had. He goes through this whole list of, this is who they are to me. And also, God, I need you to do these things. So when we pray, I see some things that we can do. So if you're taking notes, there's five things I see, and I don't have them on a list. But there's five. The first is that we acknowledge God and who He is. Because you can call Robert Flick, or you can call Bobby, and one of those is more respectful than the other, right? Because he likes to be called a certain thing. And I've never, not once, heard anybody call that man back there Bobby. I've heard some people call him Rob, and some people call him Bob, and both of those things make me uncomfortable because I've only ever, always called him Robert. Because that's who he is. I've also called him Roberto and Two Step and a couple of other things. But lovingly, right? Never Bobby, because that feels feels disrespectful. The acknowledgement of God and who he is. That's the first thing. Because I'm praying to the creator of the universe. And I have special status because I'm his. But that doesn't change who he is. I'm not coming in being disrespectful. I'm probably not... There's a running joke online about people who pray to Daddy God. I'm not going to do that. I can cry out Abba Father, but I'm going to say Abba Father because that's what the Bible says, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the one who spoke me into existence, because he can unspoke me or re-spoke me out of existence, and there's a certain level of respect that ought to be had. an acknowledgement of God and who he is. That's the first thing that we ought to open every prayer with that. The Lord's Prayer starts that way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It starts with honor of God. And if you're wondering, that is a mix of the King James Version and the CSB in my brain, because that's we're in transition. The second is an acknowledgement of the current condition. And again, this is the way that you pray for yourself and the way that you pray for others. You're acknowledging the condition that you're in. God, I am here. I don't know if you can see me, but I'm here and struggling. And he knows that. But it's good to say it out loud. It's good to think it through, to go through the things. Acknowledge the current condition. Jesus did that. He said, listen, I'm leaving. God the Father, I know that you had this planned at the beginning of everything, but I'm not sure if you know or not. I'm leaving. And these people are going to be without me. God, did you know that you were taking me home? Did you know we have other plans for me? Yes, I know you know that. I'm saying it for their benefit. This is what's going on. An acknowledgement of the current condition, whatever it is. The third thing is an acknowledgement of the will of God. Because the will of God is probably contrary to the condition that they have. Right? Probably. Jesus talks about the will of God for these people in that he's praying for. He talks about what's going to be happening to them and where they're going. And he says, I need you to protect them from the evil one because I'm sending them out. The will of me and you is that they go out. Please protect them in that. Acknowledgement of the will of God. We'll talk more about that as we talk about putting this into practice. The fourth thing is requests. And I say requests with promises, because I don't like asking for things that I don't already know are going to be answered yes. Right? I did not ask my wife to marry me until after I already knew. Done deal. This is not a question. If I ask her and she says no, I don't know what we're going to do at that point. I had to talk to her dad first, and then we had to go through this whole thing, and then I asked. It wasn't. So I like to know. I like to pray and ask requests with promises. So if you know the Word of God, and you can stand up here and say, hey, I know that God wants good things, that he has good plans, hey, that's a promise. He works all things out for the good of those who love him. That's a promise, and that's a big enough promise. You don't have to know any of the others, actually. You should. You can get a lot more specific. You should be able to get to a point where somebody's talking to you about something that they need to go say to somebody else, and you should be able to say, well, the Word says that you don't have to worry about what you're going to say. You just open your mouth and the Holy Spirit will give you words to speak. So let's just go there. Let's pray for that. Requests with promises based on the current condition. So I'm not just asking in that situation for macaroni and cheese, even though I think that would be good. That's not going to help Rick in the situation he's in. And then fifth, give thanks. And Jesus, because he's God, went through a whole sort of different thing where he talks about how wonderful God is and the glory that is to come. He did not pray for unholy things. And again, this is something we're going to talk about as we go into what looks more practical. But he didn't pray for anything that was against the will of God. He prayed within some parameters. He said, I'm not praying for the world. I'm not praying for everybody. There's some people out there who never are going to come to know me. I'm not asking that you protect them from the evil one. I'm asking for you to protect these people. Mine. So how does this work in real life? I'm going to give you an example. You encounter somebody in real life. This is praying as ministry. You encounter somebody, I'm going to use Rick. Because I didn't ask Rick, but he's not going to get mad at me. I don't think. I'm going to use Rick. And one of two things can happen to initiate, hey, this is some prayer ministry in my life. either the first thing is Rick is going to know that I'm a religious person and I'm a person who prays. Hopefully he knows that if he spent any amount of time with me. He knows that about me, and he might say, hey, Adam, would you pray for me about this? That's one option. The second option is I may come up to Rick and say, hey, Rick, you've been on my mind a lot. You've been on my heart. Is there anything I can be praying for you about? Now, we've just opened up a whole, either one of those situations opens up a whole door of ministry. We're going to have conversations after this. Because now we're talking about my ability to talk to the creator of the universe. And so if he doesn't know Jesus, he's going to at least know what I know about Jesus after this. Because we've opened the conversation. One of those two things is going to happen. Rick's going to say, hey, will you pray for me? Or I'm going to say, Rick, I love you. What can I pray for you about? And then he's going to say, oh, yeah, hey, I got this problem at work, and I'm going to leave it as simple as that. None of you have ever had problems at work, right? Never? Rick works in a factory, and we've already talked about problems at work. So I'm going to use that as an example. It's not real life, but he says, I got a problem at work. And then you say, okay, let's pray about that. And then you pray. You don't say, okay, let me call my pastor. He's going to come over. We're going to get this handled. If prayer is a ministry in your life, you say, well, can we pray about that right now? I mean, I'm going to share it with my church. Not sure if you know, I got like 50 of these crazy people that gather in one place, and we all pray about stuff. But if you would let me right now, if you've got like 10 seconds, we can pray right now together. And then you're going to go, and you're going to pray. And it's going to be something like this. Going through those five things that we just talked about, it's going to be something like this. Father, thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. My brother Rick here loves you. He's found himself in a difficult situation at work. We know that it is your desire for him to work well, for him to not suck at his job, that he would glorify you in the work that he does. He is struggling here. I ask in this situation, we lean on the promises that you have given us, that you go before us. God, help him in each conversation because these people are being unkind. Help him in each interaction with his boss. Help him to do the things that you have called him to do. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Simple as that. Simple as that. I went through those five things just really fast. And I know that seems overly simple. But what I did was I took his situation and I took it to the Father. And remember who we are. Think about this for a few moments. The person that you want to pray for, I'm going to keep saying Rick. Rick says, hey, I need prayer. I got this stuff going on. And I say, I know a guy. I know a guy what can help with your problems. And then I take Rick's hand and we walk into the throne room of grace together. And I say, Rick, you're never going to believe this, but this God on that throne has totally changed my life. Totally and completely. And the situation that you are in right now, not sure if you know, but dirt only exists because God said so. He made bees and honey work together so that we could have flowers and good food. He made steak taste good. This is the God that I worship and serve, and he cares about the problem that you have. And if you will just walk with me to the front of this line, because we are children and I have privilege here, I'm going to walk with you, Rick, to the beginning of this line. I'm going to interrupt everything that's going on, and I'm going to tell my dad about the problem that you have. And I don't know if you know my dad, but he handles stuff, okay? And then I ask my dad, I go up to dad, and I say, hey, Rick's got some stuff. I know you are a handler of stuff. And Rick is with me here, and I want him to know that I done asked you. God, you are taking care of this because I asked you, and I know it's handled. Thank you for being dad. Amen. We're going to go back to Walmart now. We got to leave the throne room for a few more minutes. We're going back to Walmart. But think about that interaction in that way. I'm going to stop everything right now. We're going to enter into the throne room of grace. We're going to talk to God. We're going to take you all the way through. And I'm going to take Rick by the hand straight up to the throne. God, did you know they've been mistreating him at work? Did you know these situations? Now you know. Please help him. Oh, you're using that for his refinement? Okay, we get that. But also, he needs some help in that. He needs some help. He doesn't feel like he's going to make it. He needs some help. Prayer is a very powerful ministry for us to engage in the world. And when you pray for others, it's just like that. It's that interaction where you take him by the hand into a place where you know well this is the throne room of grace and I'm welcome here. I get to be foolish here. I've cried here a lot. You take him all the way to the front and you use your privilege to get him what he needs. We all need prayer. The people around us all need prayer. If you think your life is messy, it's only because the people around you are better at covering it up at this moment than you are. And I promise it's only in this moment because they've got a mess too. The disciples were in that place. They didn't ask for prayer. Jesus just knew. I just told them that this is going to get really, really hard. I don't want to tell them that it's going to get really, really hard and then leave them alone. I want to pray for them first. He says, I tell you these things so that you, that in me you will have peace. I tell you these things because in you, in me, you have peace. You are going to struggle. The reason that that's my favorite passage in all of Scripture is I feel like it's Jesus being completely and totally honest. He says, in me you will have peace. In the world you are going to suffer. Be courageous. In one verse, he goes through the whole of my earthly experience. In Jesus I can have peace. In the world I have suffering. Jesus has already conquered it. And then he prays for his people. He says, you're going to suffer. Let me pray for you. I'm not going to be here very long. Let me pray for you. In his own language, in his own relationship. I can't pray exactly what Jesus prayed because I'm not Jesus. I'm not asking for God to glorify me the way that I was glorified before the beginning of the earth. I am asking that God, I know you love me. Would you love Rick the way you love me? I'm going to keep using Rick because he's right there and we're friends. He prayed. And so as we encounter the world, as we are equipped saints, as we go into these situations, as a people who pray, we need to pray. In that moment, in the most encouraging way that we can. The more comfortable we are with prayer, the more we will do this naturally. The more you hear other people praying, the more you're going to pick up on what we call prayer language. Prayer language, yeah. I'm getting kind of dry up here. Where'd my water go? Excuse me. And I'm not talking about like angelic languages or speaking in tongues or anything like that. Those are other conversations. But you're going to start learning about things like hedge of protection, which I haven't seen in the Bible, but I have seen in a lot of people praying for other people. You're going to just see some of the lingo and hear some of the lingo that we use to pray for one another. And you'll start to pick up on that as you hear other people praying. But the more comfortable you get, the more natural you do with this. The more natural you are at this. One of the ways that we get better about praying is praying more. That's the way that it works. It's like a reflex. It's like a muscle. It's like anything that you build upon. One of the ways that we can do that is what we call habit stacking. Okay, this is something that maybe you can incorporate in your life, where you do something and then you add something else to that. So something that you do every day. Maybe you brush your teeth every day. I hope you brush your teeth every day. We'll start with that, right? So I brush my teeth every day. And what I'm going to add to that is now I'm going to pray. I'm just going to pray. Not going to be long, but every time I brush my teeth, I'm going to pray. And so maybe you went to the dentist and they said, you should actually be brushing your teeth three times a day to make up for some of the times you didn't do it before. So now you're praying three times. I'm just adding it to something else that I already do. Or every time I get into my vehicle, I'm praying. So that you become more and more fluent in this conversation that you're having with God. So that when Rick comes up to you and says, hey, I'm struggling, you say, hey, don't worry, get in my car. That's the trigger. I got to get in my car, and then I pray. But we're going to pray. You can find other triggers. You can find other things. You can say, okay, every night before I go to bed, I'm going to pray. Every day, as soon as I get up, I'm going to pray. It's easier for me to do it in the morning before I start the day than in the evening because I fall asleep really, really fast. If you ask anybody that stayed in our cabin, I also snore. I fall asleep super fast. So I don't want to count on the last 10 minutes of the day to be my prayer time because that could be the last 4 seconds of the day. I laid my head down and then out, depending on the day. We need more prayer in our lives. But as we add that prayer in our lives, we get better and better about praying as ministry. And what the world needs to know is that you are a person who prays and that you believe in that prayer. What the world needs to know is that Jesus loves them, and you can tell them that in that prayer as you take them to the throne. You can tell them that as you pray for them in their whatever problems. God, would you draw yourself close to them? Would you make yourself known to them? Would you manifest yourself for them? Because as they go through their next few days, they might start looking for Jesus in places they've never looked before. Prayer is sort of a discipline. It is sort of a have to. As believers, we have to be in communication with God. Why? Because it's a relationship. Any relationship you have with anybody has to be built on communication. Your relationship with your spouse would not exist if you did not talk to one another. If you get to that point, you are probably in trouble. Your relationship with your best friend does not exist if you are not talking. Now, I have friends that are a couple hundred miles away. They sent us a Christmas card this year. I did not know that they had a child. They had a child. I didn't know that. I heard rumor that they were pregnant one time. I didn't do math to find out when the baby was coming. It's a full-grown baby. Like, we're not talking. We have no relationship. I love those people, theoretically. But if that's the relationship you have with Jesus, you have no relationship. Where do they work? I don't know. Where do they live? I don't know. Eden said the other day, do they still live in Springfield or St. Louis? I don't know. We should have looked at the return address on the thing that they sent. There was a time they asked me for my address after we moved. I sent it to them. That's how we got the card. It was the end of the conversation. I'm going to call them. If that's the only level of communication you have with Jesus, you have no relationship, right? So there is a level of you have to pray. But it's more than that because we get to. I'm privileged that I get to run into the throne room of grace and say, God, I'm struggling. And then there are times where I get to run into the throne room of grace with Rick and say, God, Have you met my friend? He's struggling. As believers, we get to pray for ourselves. We get to pray for others. We get to. We have the ability. We have the access. We have the encouragement. Jesus tells us to. Prayer as ministry is very, very powerful. It's also very scary. Nobody wants to sound like an idiot. Nobody wants to misrepresent God. Nobody wants to pray for things that aren't going to come true. Struggling right now with a situation with Lane. I don't want to pray that Lane is found. That's hard. I don't want to pray with his mom and pray that he's just holed up somewhere trying to avoid the weather and his phone's dead and there's no charger. Like, I'm I understand. And yet there's incredibly powerful ministry in praying for others, in caring about others enough to take them with you to Jesus. Bowing at his feet and saying, Lord, this is where we're at. You are God and you care, and I know you care. Nobody wants to sound like an idiot. But would you be foolish enough for your Jesus to share him with others? I encourage you as a church, when you need prayer, ask the people around you. Keep asking me. I'm not bowing out of any responsibility. I will pray for you in that moment. And if you've called me and said, hey, I need prayer for something, I hope in that moment I was wise enough to say, let's pray right now. If you send me a text message, I probably do pray, and I just say, okay, well, let me. Can I share that with the church? That's what I usually, can I share that with the church? You may have gotten that message. If I know you well enough, I may just share it anyway without asking that question. Some of you are more private than others. But I encourage you to start here. As you struggle, go to people across the room and say, hey, would you pray with me about this? It's way better to walk together in prayer. It's a ministry to one another. And as we get better at that, let's step into the world and say, okay, we are taking everybody to Jesus. I'm praying for everybody. They got a problem? I'm praying right now. They're going to know I'm crazy. It's that old adage, you can say nothing and let everybody believe that you're stupid, or you can open your mouth and prove it. Same situation. You can say nothing and let everybody believe that you're a crazy religious lunatic, or as soon as you have the opportunity, you can say, hey, we're going to pray about that right now. Right now. I know that we're in the middle of a meeting. I know that we're in the middle of a whatever. I know that there's things going on. Let's pray. As soon as this is over, as soon as this thing is done, as soon as we have a moment. Okay? We want to be people who pray. I've told you these things so that in Jesus you may have peace. You will have suffering in the world. Be courageous. He has conquered the world already. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are and that we do have the ability to come before you and pray for one another and for those that we love in the community. God, I ask that you would walk with us in those moments, that you would give us words to say. God, give us opportunities in abundance over the next couple of weeks where we would be tested in this, where we would have time to pray for one another and to pray for other people. God, help develop that ministry in our church as we begin to pray more and more. Lord, help us to step into those situations. Give us power and boldness in those times. I thank you for that. God, I thank you for being God who is with us as we go through everything that we have to go through, that you have already conquered the world. I ask you to pour out blessings on each household that is represented here today, that you go with us as we go into the rest of our week. God, I thank you for who you are. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.